Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Wherever you are, in your kitchen, in your car, maybe in the house of the Lord here in Columbia, Maryland, I bring you greetings from my family, from the elders of the church, from the clergy. I am so glad to be here for a three-week series that I'm starting today called Power. I'm going to be talking about the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. And today the title is The Spirit's Pouring. Next week, The Spirit's Filling. And then the third week, The Spirit's Interceding. So I hope you'll be with me for all three of those messages. I also want to thank Caitlin Brown for her beautiful painting and her beautiful story. You can put your hands together not only for her, but for all the women in the world. This is Women's History Month, and we highlight them, and we thank God for the women that God has put on the earth. So can we give the ladies a great big hand? Ladies, women, girls, we lift you up, and we honor you. After my three-week series comes Pastor Sandy Pope, who will give a word, and then following that will be Pastor Dave Michener. That takes us right up to Easter. Can you believe that? Easter is here already. And so I need you to do something for me as a church. I want you to begin praying through and thinking about who you are going to invite to come to church at Easter. Okay, think about it. It's the second Sunday in April. Who do I want to bring for Easter? This will be an outreach opportunity. We'll provide you with things that you can use to invite your friends, your relatives, your associates, neighbors, and their kids. We call them your Franks. So think about who your Franks are, your friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, and kids, and begin praying for them now, saying, God, who can I invite to Easter? And we're talking about not just those that don't know Christ, but there are many people who do know Christ, but they're not in church anymore. COVID broke their church habit, and now COVID is over, and you're watching me online, which is great if you're not in Maryland. But if you're in Maryland and you can make your way to church, it's time for you to come back into the house of the Lord. And if I could be very honest with some of you, this won't be all of you. Some of you are not coming back to church because you are lazy. Now, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't be offended. But if you can get into the house of the Lord and you used to be regularly coming, but you got used to not coming into the house of the Lord, the Bible says, do not stop congregating with the believers. We had a time when we couldn't congregate except virtually. But there are 100 countries around the world that are watching us. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person right now who is watching online because you can't get out of the bed to get dressed. This is your season to come back to the house of the Lord. If I'm speaking to you, receive what God is saying to you. And this is going to make sense as I talk about the pouring of the Holy Spirit. And not only Easter would be a great time to come back, but also the four-week series after Easter is a four-week series that Pastor Eli and I are going to be teaching, which is an outreach series for unbelievers called Precious. So check this out. After the four-week series, then Mother's Day's here, and Minister Lisa Bryson is going to be bringing a Mother's Day message. And so you have 6 weeks, along with baby dedications on Mother's Day, you have a six-week window for some serious outreach. So I really want you to be thinking not about your own spirituality, but those who are your Franks, your friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, and their kids. Will you do that with me? Also, I want you to realize that our times will be changing. So Easter services are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in Columbia, Maryland, 10:30 a.m. in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. And so for those of you who are saying, I want to come back, when do I start? Well, you can start now, but if you start on Easter, it'll be 9 and 11 and 10:30, and those times will remain. So even after Easter, the 8 a.m. service will now be the 9 a.m. service. The 9:45 a.m. service will be the 11 a.m. service. So you have two choices as we continue. And for those of you in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, you've been coming at 11:30 for a while. We're moving it back to an optimal hour, 10:30. So by noon, you can still check out kickoff, okay? Now, I'm going to open in a word of prayer, but there's just one more opening item I want to tell you about, and that is our publisher for the book Gracism has now opened up pre-orders for the brand new revised expanded edition of Gracism, and the person helping me with revising that book is Pastor David Heiliger. I want to get as many pre-orders as possible because IVP is giving a 30% discount on the new book. And so if you'd be so kind to tell your friends to go to gracismglobal.com/book, if you would do that and pre-order the book, it'll be 30% off, it'll be free shipping, and it'll get to you and it'll help us reach 1,000 people pre-ordering the book before it actually comes out on May 9th. And there's no better time for the message of Gracism to hit our world again with our new edition and our new eighth saying than now. So I pray that you'll help us out with that. Just go to gracismglobal.com/book. Now, Lord, we're going into prayer and we're going into your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Be our preacher. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. As I think about the people in our ministry currently, and as I think about the 31 years of ministry that Bridgeway has been on the face of the planet, I believe that this season right now that's occurring within our church and within our ministry is a season of pouring, a season of pouring. As I reflect on the seven declarations that I gave on January 1st, 2023, from Joshua chapter 3, and then the three additional declarations that I spoke out at our State of the Church address on January 29th, the pouring is becoming clearer to me as I read through the scriptures. And as I mentioned to our clergy and to our elders several weeks ago, that I believe we're in a time of pouring where the Holy Spirit is pouring out on us and those that are in our ministry and beyond in a very special season of this sort of new Bridgeway Community Church, if you will. Allow me to repeat those three declarations from January 29th, and then I'll follow up with various scriptures today, a couple of from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, to help us sort of understand the pouring that is taking place by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Declaration number one, I declare that we will see signs and wonders we have never seen before. Declaration number two, I declare that you will see dreams and visions that will point you toward deeper faith in Christ and greater love for people. And declaration number three, I declare that you will see prosperity and maturity married in such a way that your prosperity will not be seen as fleeting, fake, or manipulative. And as God gave me those declarations that I said to you on January 29th, I began to see this coming to pass in many people's lives. But what is this pouring that I'm speaking of? I asked God this very thing. You know, pouring is something that is outside of you, that comes into you, and changes you in a way that you could not have been changed without it happening to you. And the two things in order to receive this pouring that I'm talking about is availability and absorbability. Availability and absorbability. And today, I want to talk about the availability. Availability has to do with the proximity and the position that you are in to be poured on by God's Spirit. Absorbability has to do with your ability to receive and to take in what God is trying to pour into your spirit. And as I talk about availability today, this is about the Holy Spirit being poured on you. Are you in the right position to receive the Holy Spirit being poured on you? And if you are, what happens when the Holy Spirit is poured upon a person? Next week, I'll talk more about the absorbability. And this is about the Holy Spirit being poured in you. So today, we're going to talk about him being poured on you. Next week, we'll talk about him being poured in you, aka the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's next week. But allow me to take you to a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament as we talk about the Holy Spirit's pouring power. The first of the two come from Isaiah 44. In fact, in Isaiah 44, it was quoted today by Caitlin Brown later in the verse, in the chapter, verse 23. What I want to do is I want to take you to verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah 44, verse 3. Maybe you can pull it up on your smartphone or open it up in your Bible, Isaiah 44, verse 3. I want you to lay your eyes on it. I want you to see it with me, whether on your screen or on your page. This is what Isaiah writes. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Wow. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Notice, friends, that we have a pouring God, and he is promising to pour out on their children and their children's children, the people of Israel. Does anyone need God to pour out his blessing on their offspring? Does anyone need God to pour out his spirit on their children's children? Hallelujah. Before I even move on any further in the sermon, I feel led for us to pray for our children and our children's children. And honestly, I think that there's somebody in this room today that could pray this prayer. So, is there anybody that feels like you can just come on stage and pray for our children and our children's children? Somebody feel called to pray for our children and our children's children? If there's not anyone, I'll pray myself, but does somebody feel led to do that? Going once, going twice, I'll pray. Oh, I see you. Come on up really quickly and let's get him a microphone. I know I can pray this, but I believe that somebody else is supposed to pray this. And we're going to agree in prayer with our brother. Come on up on stage. Pray for our offspring, our children, and our children's children. Thank you so much. What's your name, brother?
Brian.
Brian, thank you. From Romania, yes?
Close. From America, married into Romania.
Aha. Okay, very good. Welcome here. Would you pray for us?
I will, sir.
Okay.
Lord, we lift up the children of this world and the children to come, the children of many ages, and we are your children, Father.
Yes.
We thank you that you show us parenthood, the perfect model of parenthood, invited in through your Son, by a Son, Father, that moves through us, through your Spirit that meets us, Lord, in such amazing intimacy, Lord. Mm. We are a global body and a global family with brothers and sisters coming under your parenthood, generation after generation, inheriting a beautiful and occasionally broken history, Father. But Lord, it's your redemptive purpose that meets us. You have a purpose that you've brought to us, Father. Mm. You have a purpose using us imperfect vessels, these jars of clay, Father, to meet you, to meet the others, and to facilitate that meeting, Father. Thank you for this. And we pray for our children to meet you and their children to meet you and continue this generation after generation of glory that is lifted up to you and us and these simple vessels that we are. Thank you, Lord. We bow before you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. May God's blessings be poured out on your family, your children, and your children's children. Not only does Isaiah 44:3 teach us that God pours out on our offspring, but here's a second Old Testament passage, and it's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And it teaches us that God not only pours out on our offspring, but God pours out on our offerings. Check out what it says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and, here it is, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. How many of you have seen this verse come to pass in real life? I know I have. How many of you can witness that God has moved in your life as you have given to him? And how many of you have had God pour out blessings upon blessings on you as a result of giving of your resources and your finances to the Lord? God is saying, give me a tithe and bring in the offerings, and he will prove himself over and over again in your life. And he said, test me in this. That's not me said, that's he said. Test me in this. And some of you are like, how can I test God with a tithe, which is 10% of my earnings when I don't have that much? Well, give what you can give cheerfully to God. But this is how I want you to test him. I want you to give him something that you can give him cheerfully. But I want you to give it with a promise and a prayer. Give to the Lord with this promise and prayer, whatever it is. Give to the Lord with this promise and this prayer. And that is this. Lord, I'm going to give this to you in faith and with joy. And God, I'm making a promise that whatever results from this seed that I'm planting by faith, I will give 10% of that. So you can give 10% of something you don't even have yet. First, give a seed joyfully to God. And then when God blesses that seed, when you see him bless you because you gave to him, promise him ahead of time that you will give him 10% of whatever that new blessing is. And that will get you started. God cannot wait to pour out blessings over your life as you test him with your giving and obedience to him. My mother used to always say growing up, and she still says it to this day at 89 years old, she says, son, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. I have a friend, Kevin Turpin, who some of you know, he's preached from this stage before. And we often say this to one another, and I'll say to Kevin, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. And he responds back, but we're going to keep trying. And so our game is that we're just going to keep trying to beat God's giving. And God keeps winning this game because he keeps blessing us and blessing us and blessing you because you're not going to beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. Now what I want to do is, now that I've shown you from the Old Testament, God pours on our offspring. God pours on our offerings. I now want to take you to the New Testament, and I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, where we begin to see God pouring on his people and pouring on a season that is quite amazing. So go with me, if you still have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2 is fascinating because this is the passage where the first century church began. This is the passage which is the inauguration of the Church of Jesus Christ, or what some call in the theological world, the church age. And if we pick it up at chapter 2, verse 17, we find out that once the apostles and Peter are in the streets of Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit begins to move, and on all these different ethnic groups of over 15 different groups that speak different languages, the gospel is being preached, and people are being able to hear the gospel in a tongue that they did not even speak or did not even learn before. And the Spirit of God began to move to such a degree that it almost seemed like there was a party happening in the streets and everyone was drunk. But when they were being accused of being drunk, they said, no, this is not us being drunk. This is the Holy Spirit being poured upon us. And as a result, there's a movement of God among us in this gathering that has never happened before, because this was the inauguration of the first century church. And then Peter goes on to say that there's an Old Testament text from Joel chapter 2 that was a prophecy years ago that is now coming into effect and being fulfilled on this day. So what you see happening in Acts chapter 2 on this day was prophesied by Joel in Joel chapter 2. So as a preacher, Peter is calling on his text. And the text that he's calling on is from Joel 2. And he repeats this text in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 17, this is what Peter says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This is what I need you to see today in this message. That God is not simply pouring out his spirit on his people, but God is also pouring his spirit out on seasons. Not just people, but seasons. God says in verse 17, I'm going to pour it out on people, but in verse 18, he says, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God is pouring out his spirit, not just on the people, but God says in those days, which means that God pours out his spirit on seasons as well. On certain days, God pours out his spirit. Just like the men of Issachar in the Bible in 1 Chronicles 12, 32, who understood the times and they knew what to do in those times, God allows us to be positioned and available at certain times in certain generations for a specific season, because he knows the Spirit's calendar. God knows when the Spirit is going to blow. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. Only God knows the calendar of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we are in this season where the Spirit's wind is blowing. But we must be available and in position. For the people who were not in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they didn't experience this. You have to be in the right place at the right time, under the right covering, for the right reasons. And only we know when the Spirit begins to blow that it's nothing but the Holy Spirit. They were in prayer in Acts chapter 1. They were expectant of God. They didn't know what God was going to do, but they knew that if they gathered together, they knew that if they came together, They knew that if they prayed together, they knew that if they waited on the Holy Spirit together, that Acts 1:8 would come to pass. That says, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world. So they waited before God. They came together. They were in prayer. And God was pleased to move at that time. And friends, I don't know about you, maybe you've heard this before, but the Old Testament is known as the time of the Father. The Gospels are known as the time of the Son. And from Acts chapter 2 on, when the Holy Spirit comes down, is known as the time of the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's nothing left. In the time of the Spirit, God moves, and before you know it, the end of the world comes. There's nothing left. We are in the New Testament period, the church age, the time of the Spirit, and the next thing to come, according to the Bible, is the return of Jesus Christ. And friends, you've got to be available for the movement of the Holy Spirit. You see, some of us are emotionally and spiritually unavailable to the Holy Spirit. We're available to religion. We're available to God. We're available to church. We're available to Jesus. But we have decided that we are not emotionally or spiritually available for the Holy Spirit to move, because then we might not be in control. But when the pouring of the Holy Spirit comes, you realize that he begins to move and he begins to take control and he begins to do things in our lives that we can no longer hold on to. Because when we invite the Holy Spirit to be present, when we invite the Holy Spirit to move in our life, when we say, Holy Spirit, I'm available to you, and whatever you want to do, you can do. However you want to move, you can move. Whichever way the wind blows, take me with you. Spirit, I'm available to the living God. But when we want to control our faith and our religion, then we become emotionally and spiritually and even theologically unavailable. But when you're in the right position, when you open yourself to be available, the Holy Spirit begins to move. God begins to pour out on you and to pour out on your family, your children's children, your finances, your health, your friendships, your morality. The Holy Spirit begins to move. And friends, we're in the last days. Nothing left but the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. And the Spirit of God will be moving more actively in these coming days than we've ever seen before. No man knows the day or the hour, but Jesus is coming back soon. You know, God is the great weatherman of all. I mean, we don't know when the winds of God's Spirit are going to blow, but God knows. And God says there are seasons where I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And friends, I'm discerning that we are in one of those seasons right now. And I wonder if you're in agreement with me in your spirit man and in your spirit woman. If you agree with this, can you say amen? I wonder if there's a confirmation with me and my spirit with what you're seeing as well. You know, weathermen and weatherwomen, they look at patterns on the radar and they can see certain winds coming. And you know, before all the technology, grandma and grandpa could feel that the weather was changing in their knees and in their joints. And y'all know it, what that feels like. Yep, it's about to rain. You know, you got that feeling. And some could tell that a storm was coming because they even could smell the difference in the air. That's how in tune some are. And some people can tell a storm is coming because they see the trees bending and they see the clouds moving. Even animals can tell that the weather is changing because of certain instincts that they feel. Let me ask some of you who have a discerning spirit. Can you sense that God is in a pouring season right now? Can you confirm that in your spirit? Like the old man who feels it in his knees, can you testify in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is pouring out on his people in this day and in this age? You know, God has been doing revival among us at Bridgeway since October of 2022. And I've seen his movement in ways that I've not seen it before in my tenure here. God is moving in ways that I've just not witnessed spiritually or naturally, in health and wealth and just in the spirit of people's lives. Bridgeway, we are in a season of pouring. And the Holy Spirit's power is moving among us. And God is doing a new thing. You know, what he did before, he doesn't have to do it again in the same way. He doesn't have to do the same thing in the same way. He can do something different. You see, when Acts chapter 2 happened on the day of Pentecost, it had never happened before. That was new then. They had never seen that before. That was something that the Spirit did that was new. And we can ask God to move again like he did at Pentecost, but not do the same thing, because he's a creative God and he's always doing a new thing. He makes everything new. You can just say, oh, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Does somebody need the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on them, to fall fresh on their household? There's an old Native American quote that says, you never step in the same river twice. Because you step in that river, the water flows over you, you take your foot out, you step in that river again, and you never step in the same river twice, because it's always flowing. It's always new water. That quote means that the river's always flowing when you step in a second time, and the water that touches your feet is different water. And God is not recycling his spirit. He's not like the water fountain at the mall that recycles the same water over and over and over again. God's spirit is always moving and flowing and blowing with new winds and fresh waters. And you got to understand, Joel said this hundreds of years prior. He said that both men and women would have the Spirit of God pouring over them. That's stunning. He said that when the Spirit does his pouring, he's going to pour on the old and the young. That's stunning. Joel said, on our sons and our daughters. Wow. You've got to understand that this is a prophet of old, an old Jewish prophet, stuck in a season and a time that he could only prophesy that the Spirit would pour out. But then when the Spirit would pour out, it wouldn't just be on old Jewish men. It's going to be on men and women, sons and daughters, not just old men, even young men are going to be able to see the visions of God. And then he says this at the end in chapter 2, verse 21 of Acts. And again, it sounds normal to us because we always hear it, but I'm telling you, it's stunning. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Revolutionary. Everyone. What? Not just Jewish men. There's going to come a time in the future, men and women, boys and girls, sons and daughters, young and old. It's going to cross generations. It's going to cross genders. And guess what? Everyone, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles, Greeks, Romans, women, young people, anyone, prisoners, the poor, the blind, the broken, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can come into the kingdom of God. He will say, yes, to anyone who calls on his name. It's the name by which anyone can be saved. Not just us, but anyone. Revolutionary. And Joel says this hundreds of years before, and now Peter's saying, and this is the time. The Holy Spirit is pouring out on Pentecost and beyond. This is the time of the Spirit. We're not going back to the Old Testament. We're bringing that Old Testament into fulfillment right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a warning. The warning when the pouring is coming is that the enemy is not happy about it. And this is why some of you are under attack right now. Satan knows that if the pouring of the Lord takes effect, then you might actually rise up. Satan realized that in the Old Testament, the pouring of the Holy Spirit happened every now and then on specific people. So he could harass people all throughout the whole Testament, Old Testament. But in the New Testament, if the pouring of God's Spirit is on every person that comes into the name of Christ, every person that receives Christ, if the Holy Spirit pours on them, then Satan realizes that he's in trouble because you might actually rise up. I was with a few people hanging out, and one of the men was talking about when I was younger, I used to play basketball. And in high school and in college, the coach used to say this before we went out of the locker room. He says, listen, let's get out there and we're going to take away their hope. And those of us that were sitting in this little group hearing this, we're like, wow, that's dark. The coach was saying to the players, we're going to beat them so badly early that they actually will lose hope that they could ever come back and win. So if we can get in there early enough and beat them hard, then for the rest of the game, they're not going to have hope and they're not going to fight like they can actually win. This is what Satan is trying to do to some of you. He's trying to take you away from your hope. He's trying to take away the hope that you have so that you don't fight anymore. No hope of ever changing. No hope of ever being healed. No hope of ever being free. No hope of ever being out of bondage. No hope of ever seeing disease reversed. No hope of ever seeing your purpose fulfilled. No hope of your children ever turning to Christ. No hope of your marriage ever getting better. If he can get you to a place that he beats you so bad that you lose hope, then you'll stop fighting and you won't be a threat to him anymore. But the reason why he's afraid of the Holy Spirit is because if the Holy Spirit pours out on you, you're going to start acting out of your spirit and no longer out of your flesh. And when you start acting out in the spirit, you begin to realize that the battle you're fighting is not yours, but it's the Lord's. You begin to realize that with the pouring of the Holy Spirit comes the pounding of the enemy, but the power of the Holy Spirit won't let you quit. You will not roll over and die. You will not bounce over there and not come back over here. When the Holy Spirit gets poured out on you, the Holy Spirit gives you new hope, fresh hope. I will hope in the Lord. I have a living hope. I have a future. God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure. You will begin to believe again. He will not take away my hope. You can take away my health, but you can't take away my hope in the great physician who will heal me. You will believe again that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You will believe again that you are more than a conqueror because you are in Jesus Christ and that nothing will separate you from the love of God. But when the enemy begins to work, he pounds us, and the pouring of the Holy Spirit begins to move in our life and give us new hope. So what of this hope? So what of this Holy Spirit? What happens when he begins to pour out on us as a church? He begins to pour out on you. So what? What's going to happen? Honestly, I don't know what God has in store. I can't predict like a prophet. Let's see. Let's just make ourselves available to God. And let's see where he takes us. Let's see what he'll do among us. Let's see what God has in store. I don't know what it all means fully. You tell me what God is doing. But this is what I do know. And I'm coming to a conclusion at some point. But this is what I do know. I know that we are in a season of pouring. I know that God delights in pouring out on his people during this season. What I do know is that in Acts chapter 2, they repented. I know that if you need to repent, let the waters of God's pouring wash over your sins. What he pours is powerful enough to cleanse you of all of your sins. In fact, if you need to come to the altar right now, I know we're toward the end, but this isn't for the person that's just attending. This is for the person that needs to be at the altar and you need to repent. You can come up right now, even as I'm preaching. And you may be in Owens Mills right now. You can go to that altar in Owens Mills right now while I'm preaching. You might be at home in your living room. Make that an altar where you are. You might be in your car. When I was in my car, how many years ago was that? When I was 18 years ago, I was in my car. And the Holy Spirit filled the car. And I had to pull over. Somebody may be in their car right now and you have to pull over. Let the Holy Spirit move right now. I had to repent before God and I asked God, forgive me for my sins. And I say to you, if you need to repent, this is your moment. Is there anybody that needs to come to the altar and repent right now? Come forward. At Owens Mills, come forward. By the power invested in me, I am saying, turn from your wicked ways. The pouring will cleanse you. The pouring will wash you. The pouring will make you new again. Say, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. I don't care who else needs it. I need it, God. I will not walk out of this place. I will not click off of this message. I will not leave this sermon without being cleansed and washed. I want my hope back. I want my morality back. I want my peace back. I want my joy back. God, I believe that your Holy Spirit can change me even now. In your car, in your bedroom. May the movement of the Holy Spirit begin to allow you to experience something new. Because when God's Holy Spirit pours on you, you'll worship differently. You'll give generously. You'll love vigorously. You'll forgive willingly. You'll praise freely. You'll pray deeply. You'll confess regularly. You'll surrender daily. And this is your moment of surrender right now. Is there anybody else in Owens Mills or right here in Columbia that need to come to the altar? This is your moment. Just come up and trust that the Holy Spirit will pour on you fresh. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And even as the pounding comes from the enemy, the pouring will be your protection. The pouring will not only cleanse you, but the pouring will protect you from whatever the enemy throws at you. Because when he hits you, he hits the Holy Spirit and his hands slip right off. Don't let anybody stand alone. Let them know that the Holy Spirit is with them, and in the flesh you're with them too at the altar. Don't let anyone stand alone. And as he pours his grace out on you, he wants you to pour that grace on others. As he pours that power out on you, he wants you to pour that power out on others. And before I turn it over to Pastor Gary in Columbia and our brother Cody Michener in Owens Mills, I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody else? I see a couple people up here standing alone. Come on, ministers. Somebody who feels led by the Spirit. Don't let these people stand alone. This is a very important moment for them. I got two over here. Don't want them standing alone. Stand with them. At Owens Mills, don't let anybody stand alone. They need to know that the Holy Spirit is there, but they need to know physically that there's a brother or sister in the Lord that's there as well. I don't care who you are. If God says, come up and be with them, be with them. But let the Holy Spirit tell you to do it as I speak it out. Is there anybody else? Owens Mills. Columbia. Online, what country are you in right now? You might be alone and there's nobody to put an arm around you. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit would hug you like he hugged me in my car when I was all by myself. And I felt like I was not alone when I pulled to the side of the road. So wherever you are today, I pray that the Spirit is your comfort. And now, God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, the pouring of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can repent before you, that, Lord, we can walk away clean because your Holy Spirit can do a new thing in our life. Oh, forgive us, God, for walking away from you. Lord, forgive us when we've been lazy. Forgive us when we've been rebellious. Forgive us when we've been disobedient. Oh, Holy Spirit, assure us today that you are with us and that you've not left us. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Thank you, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. Wash us, oh God. And encourage those who have come to the altar today, God. Encourage their hearts, Lord. Let them know that they have hope again. Let them know that they have new life again. Let them know that your Spirit has fallen fresh on them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll be mindful to continue to give you the praise. For it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Together, everyone says amen and amen. Owens Mills, I turn it over to you. And Bridgeway and Columbia, let's give God a great big hand for the word of God. And I'll say one last thing to you, and that is this. At the end of his life, the Apostle Paul said, I am being poured out like a drink offering. You see, when God pours into you, he wants you to pour out in the others. So as he pours onto you, you pour out to others. And the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. And now there is a crown of righteousness awaiting for me and for all who long for his appearing. There's a crown that you will receive because you've poured out for God, that you will be able to give back to God at the throne when you bow and worship him. And so I want to encourage you that if you serve the Lord and if you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life, God will give you a crown and God will receive your worship one day when you get to heaven, because there's nothing that you do that is in vain. So be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain. And all of Bridgeway said, amen and amen.